with me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that this morning you'd give us minds that are engaged and clear and willing to be taught. Give us hearts that are willing to be changed and enable us to become people who are ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. So in his excellent little book called Backchat, Chris Simkinson says this about apologetics. He says Christianity has a long history of giving an answer back to her critics. This is sometimes called apologetics. Rather than being meekly apologetic, the Christian is to be confident in putting forward their case and dealing with objections. This is the good bit. It says, apologetics means giving a word back, a little like backchat without the attitude. And he goes on to say that Christians are not called to win arguments. We're called but to win hearts. And part of that task is to present the faith in such a way that it's winsome and courteous to the critics. We'll come back a bit later to that. But I think that gives us all hope. Being able to give an answer doesn't depend on our intellect or our theological training, but rather it's about remembering what God has done in us and for us, and relying on his empowering spirit to give us the words to say. We read in that a passage in verse 13 that the men were unschooled. They were ordinary. They were men who had just been with Jesus. And so the verse we're going to hone in on today, as you may have gathered from the children's talk, was verse 15 of the Peter passage. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And so I want us to ask four questions related to this verse to help us see that we can be confident in our ability to share our faith or to offer some apologetics. The first question we're going to ask is who? The very first words in this passage, if you read verse 15, says, in your hearts, set apart, or in other versions it says, revere Christ as Lord. Set apart or revere. In other words, our priority, the most important thing we can do is to say that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. The bottom line is that this is the only reason we would have to proclaim Christ as Lord. He must be the first in our heart, King of our hearts. We were singing this at a service we went to last Sunday night, King of our hearts. We must think about that God, he is the single most important person in our life. This is about acknowledging that God is God and we are not. This is about living a life that's surrendered to Christ, that's a life that holds nothing back from God. This is a life that puts Jesus at the center of everything we do and we say and we think. This is about loving him as the Bible asks us to, with all our hearts, all our minds, all our soul, and all our strength. That's it. Jesus first. Today is Trinity Sunday, as David mentioned, and we're thinking that of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're remembering that he is amazing. He can't be boxed. Jesus, is he? This is the question we come to, the who. The question we need to ask ourselves is, Have I made Jesus first in my heart and in my life? Everything else will flow from there. Our marriages, our relationships, our friendships, the love for our children. But we've got to put God first in our hearts. The second question is, when? So I've been to the dentist a lot lately. And the one thing about dentists, I don't know if you know this, they are fanatical about their appointments. So I get a text to say, your appointment's on this day at this time. I get a phone call to say, if your appointment is over a certain length of time, they phone you and they talk to you and they won't stop phoning until they've spoken to you and they've told you that this is going to happen. Are you going to be there? And they also in their text will say, cancel it. If you can't make it, just cancel it. It's fine. Because they know if you don't turn up, it's costing them money and time. We know exactly when our next appointment's going to be. I know. I'm actually so ingrained. I know that my next appointment's on Wednesday at sometime 10:30, I think. But when it comes to sharing our faith, or someone asking us about Jesus, or the lifestyle choices we make as Christians, or how we became a Christian, we are often not expecting it. It can come out the blue. In fact, people don't make appointments with us about that. In fact, more often than not, it happens at a very inconvenient time. But our verse says, always be prepared to give an answer. And so often I found myself in this situation. I start fumbling for words, or even worse, I avoid the moment. Sometimes I suddenly only realize a few hours later that there was an opening to tell people about Jesus, and I missed it. And the thing about this is, how do we get prepared? And I briefly mentioned this to the children. The thing is, am I spending time with God? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying for wisdom, for opportunities to be filled with the Spirit of God, for courage, or to be sensitive to the Spirit's promptings? Am I praising and worshiping God? In other words, are my spiritual disciplines in place? And am I spending quality, devotional times and intimacy with the Lord so that I might be prepared for the when? Thirdly, the why. Why? This is our third question. The next part of the verse goes on, says, to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. This is about testimony. This is about being able to articulate and say what God has done in your life. This is about being able to say, he saved me from sin and death and destruction, and he's transformed my life, and he's rebuilt my life into something beautiful. You know, if people ask me, Tessa, what has God done? I always quote this beautiful, what I call truth verse for me, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Because my life, I have an old life that was not pretty, it was not beautiful, it was full of sin. And then I came to England and someone invited me, I started talking to someone about God, they invited me to church and I learned what Jesus has done for me, that he died on the cross for me and that he can take all my sin and shame away, all my guilt, all that bad stuff I've done in my life, and he put things right for me. And so I know now, the old has gone. Jesus died on the cross so that the new could come, and he's made everything beautiful in my life. That doesn't mean it's easy, but he's cleaned me. He's made me pure and righteous before God. And so that is my testimony verse. My old life was a mess, but now I've turned to Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm free. Nothing of the old stuff remains in me. And this year, you'll probably know that we celebrate 500 years of the Reformation. And Martin Luther, he was the guy who said, you can't earn faith. You can't buy it. It's got to come through faith. You've got to believe. And in this little book, this has been sitting on my coffee table, and it suddenly occurred to me, there's some quite good stuff in here. David gave it to me, so I thought I'd better read it. And I was just reading, and Martin Luther, this is an old dude. He's old guy. But he suddenly, and he also had a bit of a life before, and there was a couple of things we read about him in here. And he said this. It was as if his whole world had flipped inside out. God, he saw, was not asking us to earn his love and acceptance in any way. God's righteousness is something he shares with us as a gift. Acceptance before God, forgiveness and peace with him is received by simple faith or trust. And what it says here in the Bible, Luther found, truly is good news. A kind and generous God who loves first. And he called it the joyful exchange. That's what I'm talking to you about my life. There's all the stuff in our lives. Jesus comes along, dies on the cross, takes all that stuff, and suddenly we're living in this beautiful, clean place of freedom. The joyful exchange. That's what he said. That's what Christ did. He made a joyful exchange for us. So that's the why. You've got to find out. And I want to spend every minute of my life being prepared to share my hope. I hope that I now am going to spend eternity with Jesus. It's just wonderful. So we've got to be ready with the why, because people's lives and destinies and their eternal prospects that depend on it. And the last question is how. And we get to this little piece of advice from Peter in this verse. He says, but do this with kindness and respect, or in our version, with gentleness and respect. You know, these men we read about in the Acts passage, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that now, never has there been a more important time for Christians to be exercising these two things. At a time when religion and faith are hot topics, when people can challenge us for being part of a faith community, now is a great time to be a people of gentleness and respect and kindness. We need to listen and respond in a way that speaks of Jesus' love. How we respond and speak is just as important as the words we speak, how we do it. Going back to that quote I mentioned at the beginning, we are Christians aren't called to win arguments. We're called to win hearts. We're called to love as God loves. We're ambassadors. We're representatives for Christ. And we need to make sure that our customer service is John Lewis type standard. I love that place. They will go the extra mile, don't they? So polite, so courteous. Yes, of course we can take it back just because you don't like the color, whatever. We notice the how they do it. We notice whether people care or not. And people notice that about you, and they notice that about me as Christians. So this is the start of our series on apologetics. And in the weeks to come, we're going to tackle some of the challenging topics. Suffering, for example. What do we say to people when they say, but what about all the suffering in the world? And I just wonder if today something might have struck you, one or more of these points that God has maybe nudged you about. And so let's just take a minute now to think about those four questions and consider them. And I just invite you to just ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you in that moment. When we think about the who, is Jesus first in your heart? And if he's not, is it time for you to say, I want to follow you, Jesus? I haven't got it all sorted. I don't know quite how to do that, but I'll come and I'll learn. Is it time? Is Jesus first in your heart? And if that is you, if you want to talk to David or I about that afterwards, do come and grab us wherever we are. Don't miss the opportunity. Secondly, the when. Maybe God is encouraging you to spend some more time with him, or maybe some more focused time, so that you can be more prepared. Is that the challenge to you this morning? Thirdly, maybe you need to remember just what Jesus has done for you. It's like I was telling you my story. I've got a good story. We've all got a good story if we follow Jesus. But maybe it's time to just come and say, I need to remember what Jesus did on that cross for me. Took all my sin and shame. Gave me such a hope. Maybe that's the challenge this morning. Or maybe the challenge is learning to respond in love, in gentleness, in kindness. Maybe God's just putting his finger and saying, you're not that gentle when you respond. Respond like I respond. So let's just be quiet for a minute and ask God to just seal in our hearts what he said to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done on sending your son to die for us, giving up your one and only son so that we might have freedom, that we might know relationship with you, that it's possible to be friends with God because Jesus died for us. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and to search our hearts, to see if there's anything in us that needs change or challenge. So come, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. Remind us afresh of who we are, that we are your children, and we have privileges as your heirs, and that we are loved more than we could ever imagine. And so we thank you on this day that your word to us is, I love you, come to me. Help us to become people who can be, who can have good back chat without any attitude, who can have a reason, an answer for the reason, for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.